To the book of Joshua, and I am a missionary, and God called me to preach when I was 16 years of age. I surrendered to the ministry, and by the way, qué bendición saber que tienen un hermano ahí atrás que habla español, y creo que hay una señora aquí, quizás una joven también. What I said in Spanish was, what a blessing to know you have Edwin here, and his, I believe this, you're his wife, and daughter. And praise the Lord for those who speak Spanish in your church. And as I said, the last 47 years we have been speaking Spanish and working mostly among Hispanic people with a couple of detours, one to reestablish Bible Baptist Church in Fort Pierce, Florida, and then also to direct the aviation school at Piedmont Bible College, which neither school exists anymore. Piedmont has changed its name to another name, but the aviation program was closed out just a couple of years ago. And but what a blessing to be able to converse. And I was able to give Edwin the name of one of our missionaries, Brother Matt Goins, who lives in Progreso. And so hopefully they can get in touch. And he has in-laws, maybe a mother-in-law, who is there in at Progreso in Honduras. And maybe they can get together with Matt and they can get in church there, the church that he has established. In Joshua chapter, and I didn't tell you a chapter, did I? Chapter 24. And this is a very familiar passage, but I'm going to, if Lord willing, I believe that the Lord would have me to use a verse before we get to the most famous verse that's in this. And so I want you to look with me, if you would, in verse 13. I want you to see and remember now that Moses is off of the scene. Joshua is giving an exhortation to the children of Israel. They have now conquered the land, though they did not completely conquer it as God had told them to. They are in the land. And in verse 13 it says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and the olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. And I'd like to bring the message this morning from verse 14, where it says, Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And then the verse that is so famous, and some of you may even have it posted in a frame in your home, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. And notice that he goes all the way back to the other side of the flood, when people had already turned away from the true God. And then he mentions not only the flood, but he talks about the Amorites, etc. And then the last part of the verse says, But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he was determined that he was going to serve the Lord. We have a lot of things going on in the world today. And as missionaries, we have seen many, many changes in the 40-some years, almost 50 years that my wife and I have been missionaries, both in Central America and Latin America. And by the way, I want to say that Brother King's dad, Brother Randy King, Dr. Randy King, is one of the most precious people that I know. He is he's a real servant of God, has a servant's heart. I first met him when he asked me to go, they asked me to go to Oshkosh for the aviation program that they have up there during the week of experimental aircraft. But then he also asked me if I would go and translate for him on a trip to Venezuela. And I actually had the opportunity to do that twice through the years. And then he went with me to Nicaragua and had the privilege of working with him there. And Brother Dr. King has a servant's heart. I saw in this man something that you see in very few pastors. And I just want to say I appreciate so much. And Pastor King here comes from a great family. And just praise the Lord for them. Now, as we look at this verse of Scripture, would you think with me about several things that Joshua said to the children of Israel? And because of what is going on in our country and in our world, it would be really good if you and I would stop and think for just a moment. Even this morning, when I stopped to get a breakfast sandwich, I walked in to a place of business that sells breakfast sandwiches, and there on the door was indication that they cater to a certain sector of society here in the United States. They had the rainbow colors on the door, and one thing or another. What happens many times is that you and I as Christians, we see the problems that our country has. Over 50 million babies that have been murdered. And we point our finger at the people who are doing that. And then we see the homosexualities and the lesbianism and the gay movement, and we point our fingers and say they're destroying our country. And we see this political entity here and there, and we point our finger and we say, boy, these people are the ones who are destroying our country. Can I say something that you already know, but to remind us? Lost people are lost. And lost people are going to act like lost people. Now, praise the Lord for Edwin and his family that are here in the church, and I didn't have an opportunity to ask about their circumstances, etc., and I don't usually delve into those kinds of things. But as a missionary to the 53 million Spanish-speaking people in our country, I know that there are a lot of Anglo-Americans who will point their finger and say, these people are destroying our country. Can I remind you of something? There are millions of Hispanic people who were born in this country just like you and I. They are just as much citizens of this country as you and I are. There are other millions who have come and have formalized their residency here by not only becoming residents legally, and then many of them that we know have become U.S. citizens. Yes, there are millions who have come illegally. But we cannot afford to wrap all of these people into one unit. We cannot afford to say, as one pastor said recently, we won't support a missionary who witnesses to an illegal alien. We won't support a missionary to Spanish-speaking people in America because if they want to hear the gospel, let them go back to Mexico where we have missionaries. You see the prejudice? We point our fingers and we say, these are the people, and I have a real problem because my heart, my two children were adopted in El Salvador. Susan was 5 weeks old and Timothy was 4 years later, was 11 days old. They're both totally Salvadorian. And so their children are part Salvadorian. Susie and Tim are both U.S. citizens now. And their children, of course, were born here and they're U.S. citizens. I have a real problem when I see the finger pointing and we say, well, these people are destroying our country. Remember that the Lord said in 2 Chronicles that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves. See, he says, okay, wait a minute. If we want to see things turn around, we need to understand that you and I are not lily white, clean, and innocent. We're just as much sinners as anybody else in this world. And I think that sometimes we need to ask ourselves the question, how have I, through my lukewarmness or through my lack of commitment to the Lord or because of things that I have said and done, how am I contributing to the many problems that plague our country? Let's look at this verse of Scripture. I think if each of us would come back to the Scripture and we would do what this verse says, what Joshua says, you see, because he knew that over a period of time, these people who had been so blessed of God, and there's no people in the world that's been blessed like you and me. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is go to some of the underdeveloped countries and look how other people are living, and yes, they are lost, and yes, they're going to spend eternity in hell unless someone takes the gospel to them. And yes, another point is that there are some of them who do not want the gospel and will not allow missionaries to be in their countries. We need to look for the open doors, the doors that God has opened, and go through those open doors with the gospel. And here in America, fortunately, we still have an open door to reach people in our country, whether they speak English or other languages. But if we would have the type of attitude that Joshua wanted these people to have as they were occupying the land of blessing that God had promised to them and had provided for them, God would be able to continue to bless. But if they did not, God would remove. And we saw that, and Pastor touched on that point in the Sunday school lesson this morning, that people are blessed of God and they get comfortable and they get careless, and the next thing you know, they're into sin. So let's just look very hurriedly at the Word of God. And not hurriedly, but less we're aware of the time. So in verse 14, notice that first of all, Joshua says to the people of Israel, who have received a great, tremendous blessing, land flowing with milk and honey, "Now therefore, fear the Lord." Fear the Lord. If you write in the margin of your Bible, or maybe on the notes that you received from Sunday school, you want to write down the word sanctify. This is not a fear like people have from looking at the trash on TV that's called The Walking Dead. And boy, I don't understand how anybody would enjoy looking at all that blood and guts. Not that kind of fear. Not the kind of fear that you know people have when they go to horror movies or see horror things on TV. But it's a different word. It means to sanctify, to hallow. Even as you and I pray the Lord's Prayer, we begin by saying, "Hallowed be thy name." The Lord was not saying that we should say his name is hallowed. No, he was saying that you and I should understand that the name of God is high and above every other name. There is no one that can have the sanctity that his name should have for you and for me. And when we, for example, use God's name in vain, we are not hallowing, we are not sanctifying, we are not fearing him. We've lost the reverence that there should be and the holiness that there should be in our lives. Would you hold your place here? I believe, first of all, that Joshua is saying you need to fear the Lord. You need to sanctify him and set him apart as holy and far removed from what we are. If you would hold your place here and go to Leviticus chapter 20. By the way, let me just give this to you, and I don't mean to be offensive to anyone, but in chapter 19, there's some things that would, there's some principles there. Not necessarily that God is saying, "Okay, you folk in the 21st century at Zion Hill Baptist Church, you've got to live by these principles," etc. But there's some principles there that would be good. Look at verse 34 in chapter 19. "But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You know why we don't? Because we're prejudiced. You know why we don't? Because we have forgotten that we're pilgrims. Is there anybody here planning on staying and missing the rapture? How many are going to go in the rapture, Lord willing? What are you going to do with all that stuff that you're accumulating here? You're going to leave it. I love America. And I would fight for America and for our freedom and for the foundation that was built on God's Word. But hey, my home's not in heaven. You know where it is? Same place yours is if you're saved. Where? Heaven. That's where my home is. I'll be home when I get there. I'm just passing through. Thank God I've had the opportunity to pass through the greatest place on the earth. But I'm just passing through as a pilgrim. I'm not planning on staying here forever. Those who dwell here are going to go through the tribulation. Well, anyway, let's look at chapter 20. I want you to see verse 7. Sanctify therefore, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And then look at verse 8, and you shall keep my statutes to do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. He sets us apart. And then I want you to notice, if you would, over again in verse 23, and he says, and ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. Israel was God's people, and he cast out the nations of Cana in order to give them a place to live and to build the nation of Israel. But when they followed the same sins of the Canaanites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the otherites, what did he do? He sent some in there to take them out of their land. In other words, their abiding in the land was dependent upon them sanctifying and honoring and reverencing the Lord and doing what he had commanded them to do. Notice verse 24, but I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. In other words, when he said to them, and go back to Joshua 24, verse 14, when he said, you are to fear the Lord. We ought to set the Lord apart and be set apart unto the Lord. Now, I get in trouble sometimes when I do things like this, but here's a fine-looking young man and a little red-headed fellow there next to him, fine-looking young man. And I'm assuming that's your wife and not your daughter. Okay. When you got engaged with her, were you able to give her a ring?
Sure not.
Uh-huh. Did he give you a ring? Did you put it in a box somewhere and leave it there, or what'd you do with it?
Yeah.
I asked that question recently in February when I was in El Salvador. One of the couples that's been members of the church there, the Tabernacle, for years, and I knew they were saved, and I asked them to come forward, and I said, Brother Gonzalez, when you got engaged with your wife, did you give her a ring? And you know what he said to me? Brother Green, I hate to admit it, but I stole her. I said, you what? He said, yeah, I went over to her house one night, and I kidnapped her and took her away. And they've been married now over 40 years. He said, that's the way we used to do things around here. I said, well, that's the first time. And I made the big mistake of asking a guy who kidnapped his wife. He didn't kidnap you, did he? No, okay. So he gave her a ring. And I can almost be positive. Brother, what's your name?
Chip.
Chip?
Chip, like Chip and Dale.
Oh, Chip.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm half deaf, and so I was hearing something other than Chip. All right. Well, I noticed you said Chip and Dale. That's the fine furniture, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like Chip the Chipmunk.
Just go with it.
Yeah. When he gave that ring to her, what was he telling all the other guys? Hands off. This is my fiance. I'm going to marry her. I have sanctified her. You see what I'm saying? I have set her apart, and that ring is evidence of the fact that she will be mine. And of course, the same was true. One day he would be yours. And that's exactly what God wants us to understand about our lives. We don't belong to ourselves. Young people, you may think you belong to yourself, but you belong to God. Everything you are, everything you have, whether you're a young person or an older adult, everything is God's, and He only gives us our lives and allows us to steward our lives. But He wants us to understand that we need to be separated from the world unto Him. Now, how are we separated? I'll just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, because I don't know what your situation may be. But let's go to the next word. Not only did he say you should fear the Lord, sanctify the Lord in reverence and fear, but then he said, and serve him in sincerity. Well, we need to serve him. There are some Christians that are like a knot on a log. They plop down somewhere and they expect everybody in the world to serve them. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, we're going to, with reverence and sanctification, we're going to serve Him. By the way, if you're going to serve Him, you need to understand your life needs to glorify Him. It's pretty difficult to serve the Lord when you've got a bunch of garbage in your life. So, serve Him. But now notice he says with sincerity. And you can ask Edwin this after the service if you want to. But when we began to study Spanish, we began to see the roots of words. And the word sincere in Spanish is the word sincera. Sincera. And English and Spanish come from the same root, which would be Latin. And so I noticed that sincera is actually a composition of two smaller words. Sin, S-I-N, which in English is sin, but in Spanish S-I-N is not sin. Pecado is sin in Spanish. The word S-I-N in Spanish means without. And the second little word of four letters, C-E-R-A, is the word wax. So in Spanish, the word sincere is a composition of without wax. He said, Brother Green, what's the significance of that? I thought it was amazing myself when I discovered this little truth about the word sincere in Spanish because it means without wax. In ancient times, when they would make pottery, sometimes when it was being fired, it would develop a crack. And the potter, in order to not just lose all of his work and his investment, would take and melt wax and seal the crack. And then he would paint over the wax. And unless you knew what you were doing, you could buy a faulty pot. The only way to tell whether a pot, an earthen vessel, was faulty or not and had cracks in it was to hold it up to the light of the sun. And when you did that, even though that wax had been painted like the rest of the piece of pottery, the sun would shine through the wax and you would see the defect in the piece of pottery. And that's why the word sincere is without wax. Pottery that is without wax was good pottery. And you know the problem in America, in our churches, and in our lives is that we talk a talk and we don't walk the walk. We're a bunch of cracked pots. We're not sincere. We're one thing one moment and something else another moment. And Joshua didn't say, okay, Bob, you give this great lesson on Spanish and the word sincere in Spanish and all that. But what he was saying was this. If we're going to serve God, we need to do it with sincerity. We need to do it, folk, not as hypocrites. We need to be consistent. We need to serve God the same way. Now, please forgive me, but I've been a missionary most of my life, and I thank God for having called me in the ministry. And then later on when we went to Bible college and we found out what missions was all about. Unfortunately, growing up in church in Fort Pierce, 19 years, I never met a missionary, never saw a missionary. But when I went to Bible college, the first conference that they had, there were over 100 missionaries there. So please forgive me for having a missionary's heart. And I really don't apologize for that because that's what the Lord's worked in my heart. But you know, I look at people who will see a video of Africa and they'll see the African people and they'll weep. Oh, isn't this so sad? And yet they will not lift a finger to reach African people in our own country. I see people in churches will weep over Hispanics in Mexico or in Central America or South America and their poverty and the little children with their bellies popped out because of worms and other diseases, and people will weep and shed tears for those people, but they wouldn't lift a finger to reach a Hispanic that lives down the street. I think that somebody's pot's cracked. I think there's some wax in some people's lives. Joshua says, you need to reverence the Lord, fear the Lord, sanctify the Lord. You need to serve the Lord, be busy about doing the will of God. And he says, do it with sincerity. I was in a missions conference almost 40 years ago. In fact, it was over 40 years ago. And this brother, this missionary to Nicaragua, showed a slide of a little village where there were national people, and there were several little children running around there naked, and just one thing and another. It was a very sad situation. They lived in a stick and thatch hut, and it just break your heart to see the poverty that people live in every day of their lives, hopelessness. And a lady came to the missionary after the service and held out a $10 bill and said, Brother Rosser, I want you to take this $10. And he said, okay, is there something special you want me to do with the $10? And she said, I want you to buy a bag of dog food and feed that poor starving dog in the picture. Brother Rosser gave the $10 back to her and said, ma'am, if all you could see was that skinny little old dog and you didn't see the little people, the men and the women and the children that were dying, you missed the whole story. You say, Brother Green, are you against feeding dogs? No. If you're going to have a dog, take care of it. But there are people who need the gospel. And that ought to be a priority.
Yes.
Is your pot cracked? Is there wax in your life that's covering up? Are you putting on a good front? You know, we could go into a lot of different things. Young people who put on a good front when they need to get what they want from mom and dad, but when mom and dad's not present, they're criticizing mom and dad and being rebellious and disobedient. And hey, get your life straightened out. Understand, you can't violate God's principles, and I can't either, and expect God to bless. We need to get the wax out. We need to get the pots straightened out. We need to be sincere. And then I want you to notice that he says, what does he say? He says, well, sanctify the Lord, serve the Lord, be sincere. And then he says, in truth. And I'll just say this. You want to know where truth is? It's in the Scripture. So your life and mine should be lived according to the Scripture. If you're not reading the Bible each day, how can you possibly know how to serve the Lord in truth? You can't. Your life, if it's not being guided by the Word of God, the Bible, the Scripture, you're not serving God the way He wants you to. And I'm not either, if that's the case. And so He said, in truth, so we need to do it scripturally. The message needs to be scriptural. The messenger needs to be scriptural. The methods need to be scriptural. We need to do it according to the Scripture. And then, notice again, he says, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Not only with sanctification and separation, not only serving the Lord with sincerity, and not only doing it with scriptural truth, but doing it with a singleness of heart and mind. Too many people are divided in their loyalties. In the tabernacle in San Miguel, when I was there in February, there were over 100 young people in the church, and the youth pastor is very good at challenging those young people, and he challenged them to serve the Lord and to put Him first in their lives. But you know the sad fact? There are girls that can't serve God with a singleness of heart because they let their boyfriend direct them. There are guys that can't serve the Lord with a singleness of heart, making His will priority because of their girlfriend. You want God's blessing? Serve God with a singleness of heart. And He'll give you the gal or the guy that He wants you to have that'll be to stay. There are guys that can't serve the Lord with a singleness of heart because their hobby is sometimes more important than God, or their job, or their house, or something else. And women the same way. I just challenge you this morning. Are you putting Him first and foremost? Are you serving God with a singleness of heart? If you're going to let other people and other things be gods in your life, then when you get into a mess, just remember, you made the decision to step away from the true God to serve another God that isn't really God. So what does Joshua say? He gives us about five things there that we need to take into consideration as we make up our minds. If God's God, serve Him. If He's not, don't worry about it. He said, but for me and my house, we will, and I always put in there, by God's grace, serve the Lord.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer.